Near San Marcos marks the beginning of the legendary Texas Hill Country and the home of one of the top performance herds of Angus in the United States, Don and Karen Metter's Dreamcatcher Ranch. Don and Karen established their small family working ranch with the plan of a hands-on approach in the day-to-day operations.
We are not an ownership operation that's remote from the operation. We are hands-on, and we think that helps to understand the cattle and to understand the marketing of the cattle a lot better than if we were remote from the operation. So we work every day here on the ranch.
From the details of genetic performance planning, selection, and all the way through to marketing via their annual production sale, they prove how a small family ranch can work and be successful. Today, Dreamcatcher's work ethic and determination to focus on the customer and produce a superior performance product is seen clearly by everyone that has entered their gate.
We always began to prepare for a sale about 2.5 or 3 years before the sale, and that's because that's the period of time that we're selecting the kind of genetics that we're going to offer 2.5 or 3 years from now. And that starts with making a selection of the calves that we're going to keep here for donor cows right after they've been ultrasound scanned, or that we need to go outside and purchase.
Through the use of intensive embryo transfer, they offer customers a proven and unique genetic opportunity in both their females and bulls.
We turn all of our cows over every year. So we sell every heifer that we own with the exception of about 10%, which we end up keeping for donors for the year following, and then they sell the following year. So our operation is not one where we retain ownership on cattle for very long, and that allows us to turn over the genetics and have the freshest genetics that are available.
Bull buyers understand the way these bulls were selected, raised, and handled, bringing them back time and time again.
That's a matter of data selection and using the data. And yeah, people often say that he's a real data freak, and if me studying the data means that, then that's correct. Because I typically spend a great deal of time studying the data in the females as well as the bulls that are available to us. We put them out in the back where the water is located at the top of one of the two hills of the hill country, and they are required to climb the hill a couple times a day to get a drink of water, and then they survive on irrigated Tifton 85 Bermuda grass for the summer. So our bulls, while they're real soft when they start out the summer, by the end of the summer, if they've survived, they are hardened. And we like to say that our bulls don't melt, because most of our customers are very surprised that they get along on their grass and terrain. And that's because we teach them to eat grass. But because they've spent this summer down here in our environment, they literally do not lose a lot of weight when they're turned out with a set of cows. And I don't know that it's that way everywhere, but in South Texas, they always turn our bulls out with more cows than they probably should be. But typically, they survive very well, and it's because of that tempering period that we've put them through. We sell 19, 20, and 21-month-old bulls. We do not sell 14-month-old bulls. 14-month-old bulls will do quite nicely in a different kind of environment, but they do not do well if we turn them out with a lot of cows in our environment, and we get folks who don't feel good about that, so we stopped selling 14-month-old bulls. We sell bulls that are old enough to survive in our terrain and do well.
It's a simple management style and the rough Texas hill country terrain that makes bull customers come back year after year. Strong work ethics, attention to genetic detail, and a willingness to focus completely on the customer. This is Dreamcatcher Ranch, and it's everything Don and Karen Metter set out for it to be.
We had to hire somebody to make me look good. We're really glad to be back in Oklahoma. Karen is a native from Medford. Some of you who are from Oklahoma probably knew her father and her grandfather. They were very instrumental in soil conservation in this state. Her dad, Leonard Bliss Wilson, who some of you probably know, made great contributions to the area And his largest one was, he's the sire of my wife. Karen and I spent the first year of our marriage in Stillwater, Oklahoma, where I got my master's degree. We lived in 38-2 South University Place. We had orange plastic furniture, white linoleum floors. The rent was $100 a month, and you could pay $10 or more for air conditioning. Karen and I scraped together the $10. I did mention we were recently married. I tell these details because I want to tell you about my definition of senility, which certainly applies to me, and that's when your long-term memory exceeds your short-term memory. I see there are a few out there who probably can appreciate that. As they said in the bio, we spent our first 30 years working for Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble was a noted marketing company. After all, we were the name for all of those afternoon shows. That's what soap operas were named for. So we were highly known for our marketing. And in manufacturing, we were always very interested to note that most of the corporate executives were from advertising. So when I was a little younger than this, and I had a couple hundred employees, and I were working on a brand new Procter & Gamble product. Actually, it was tied with bleach. And the advertising person that I was working with was spending a lot of time with me, and I thought, like any good corporate person, this is my real chance to get to be famous. So I was kissing up like everybody else does. And the man said to me, he was younger than me, he said, advertising is designed to get the first use of our product. The product quality is what results in repeat buyers. His name was A.G. Lafley. He's the president and chief executive officer of Procter & Gamble, and I guess one of those guys who makes $300 million a year. And I'm in the cattle business. So kissing up didn't work too well. But it does make the point. I'm only going to make 2 points today, and I'm going to do it briefly so we can get on with some questions. The first one about marketing is about product quality. Our product quality is designed to meet customer needs. This product must be measurable. We need something that we can measure from year to year. Dick gave you a good analysis of that and how much progress they've made. We have to be measurable. We have to be repeatable. In our business, that means heritable. It's got to be relevant to our customers' needs, and it must be now and forever improving. The last one is really key. If you're standing still, you're backing up. Isn't there a song about that or some kind? A good example, like Dick, we pack a lot of carcass trays in our bulls. Why? Well, the average cow in South Texas is ears point toward the ground and it's about a half or a quarter Brahman influence, and they are really, really adaptable to our area, and they've got ribeyes about that big around and no marbling in it. So it is the job of our bulls to make up for that opportunity that those cows present us. Our customers come by our bulls because they will make those cows good. I know some of my fellow Angus breeders tell those bull buyers that they need to convert to Angus cattle. The more important thing is to tell them that we can fix their cattle with our bulls, and that's how we sell bulls. We hope our cattle are easy on the eyes, and you can look at them, and you saw some pictures of them, but it's most important that they have the traits of economic importance. That has to do with those things that we talked about. The second facet of our marketing strategy is customer service, just like it's been talked about already. We offer all sorts of things. Free delivery, you can buy on the Internet, you can get every female that sells with the sex of the embryo, if we can possibly do it. We miss a couple, three every year. The bulls are guaranteed for any defect. If our bulls get out in the pasture and get sunk in the swamp, and it's happened, then we replace them the next year. We guarantee every customer who buys a female from us a live calf on the ground. Now, we've had some strange things happen, and coyotes have hauled them off, and, you know, they're sure that it never had a calf, even though it had a placenta hanging out of it. We just replace them. We don't argue with those folks. We just replace them. That's what we do. We guarantee that every customer purchasing a cow who delivers a bull calf will buy it back from you. We don't have enough bulls. If you come to our sale and you're a registered Angus producer, you really would like to buy one of those that's got a heifer in you, but half of them are not. This year, about 60% of them are not. So we'll buy them back from you. It's fine. We'll put them in our group. Works for us. Works for our customer. Good example. If you pay $3,500 for a cow with a bull in her, I'll buy back the bull calf for $1,000, and you've got a $2,500 cow. It's customer service. Lastly, and most important, even in this crazy year that we've got all sorts of things going on, we offer an opportunity to replace any animal that our customer is not satisfied with. If you don't like the cow you bought from us, you need to call us. We'll make it okay. It's part of customer service. It takes a lot of patience, and sometimes I have to turn the phone over to Karen because she's got way more of that than I do. But that's what we do. Let's take an example of how this works. We're going to show you a picture of 6J2. Now, 6J2 is in the top 1% for almost everything. Weaning weight, yearling weight, marbling, ribeye size, fat, etc. Those are individual, measurable traits. Now, like Dick, we made it simple for folks. We took those measurable traits and we turned them into a single trait, measure. It's indexed. It's dollar beef. She's lucky enough, because those measurable traits are as good as they are, that she's the number two producing cow of the breed for dollars beef. We think that's pretty important. And what's nice about it is the little calf standing there beside her is a 50-50 heifer calf, so that's a calf out of the number two cow of the breed and the number two bull of the breed. We think that's pretty cool. She's not for sale. But there's an interesting point about that.
This year.
And when she is for sale depends upon her. Because the truth is, with all the hype, you know, about the number two cow and the number two bull of the breed, if she can't compete after we get the data with the other 100 heifer calves that we've got, she'll be gone before she's 2 years old. Because it doesn't matter what your reputation is, it matters how good you are, period. Measurable quality is important. We think she looks okay, too. We don't spend a lot of time, you know, trying to differentiate with that, but we don't like ugly cattle either. Okay, what else about her? Well, the truth is, and we haven't talked a lot about this today, but she's got a 12.5% probability of perhaps being a carrier. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to make her good. So we're going to sell her. And if the customer, if later on we discover that she's a carrier and the customer's dissatisfied with her purchase, we're going to make her good. And that doesn't matter whether she brings $4,000 or $40,000. We're going to make her good. Because that's what we do with our customers. By the way, our 50-50 calf indexed 121 for weaning, so the cow may go up just a bit. We'll see. So what is our marketing plan? It's really simple. We try to make our cattle really good, measurably good. We have the advertising folks who announce what the sale date is. We have an honest, no-nonsense sale, and we stand behind our cattle. That's it. Thank you all. We look forward to your questions.